Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Curtis Coy, Deputy Undersecretary for Economic Opportunity within the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. So, Kurt, you mentioned the mission of your organization, and in particular, VA's overall desire to help veterans realize their educational, financial, and employment desires and goals. To that end, what is your strategic vision, and what are your key strategic priorities?
No organization should exist without some strategic goals. And in the past couple years, we've created three very specific strategic goals for the Office of Economic Opportunity. The first one is promote employment opportunities for veterans. Pretty simple, straightforward. The second is enhance opportunities for veterans to obtain knowledge and skills. And then finally, provide opportunities for veterans to obtain, retain, and adopt a home. There's lots of programs that revolve around those things. And we like to think that we help ensure that we build the foundation for veterans to succeed through those kinds of programs and policies that we have. For example, through our education and employment programs, GI Bill, Vet Success on Campus, VRE, we want to ensure that we're empowering veterans with those knowledge and skills and opportunities they need to succeed in the 21st century. So we want to make sure that veterans are truly informed consumers as they go forward. It's not always that we do for veterans, rather that we make sure that they understand the benefits that they're entitled to.
And one of those benefits is the post-9/11 GI Bill, which you've referenced earlier. It is arguably the most extensive educational assistance authorization since the original back in 1944, I believe. What are the benefits afforded under the post-9/11 GI Bill, and how does it make it easier for the veterans and their beneficiaries to realize their educational desires?
The post-9/11 GI Bill has been in effect essentially since August of 2009. So we've had about 4 years or so of using it. And as I mentioned earlier, we've spent about $35 billion and served about 1 million beneficiaries. And you're absolutely right. The post-9/11 GI Bill is a comprehensive educational benefit. It's broken into basically three pieces. One is tuition. We pay for the veterans' tuition. Specifically, we pay for the veterans' tuition at public schools, whatever that tuition is. And then there's some restrictions with private schools. We also provide up to $1,000 for book stipend for veterans as they go through this, and then finally a housing stipend. That housing stipend is whatever the housing allowance is for a married E5 in that particular area. And so combining those three things, tuition veterans don't have to worry about, books veterans shouldn't have to worry about, and having a housing stipend such that they can live and pay their bills and focus on schools is critically important. So this post-9/11 GI Bill is worth 36 months of benefits, and veterans have up to 15 years to use it. So it's a pretty comprehensive benefit. And so what it allows for is it increases that accessibility to higher education for veterans and their dependents, by the way. One unique aspect of this post-9/11 GI Bill is that veterans can provide some of those 36 months of benefits to their spouses and or dependents. They have to make that election while they're still in the service. The GI Bill has never been available to beneficiaries other than the veteran themselves. So that's another key aspect of it.
So, Kurt, on April 2012, the president directed the federal government to improve consumer information and protection services to veterans through Executive Order 13607. Principles of Excellence for Educational Institutions Serving Service Members, Veterans, Spouses, and Other Family Members. That's a mouthful, but would you tell us more about the key requirements of this executive order, and more particularly, what tools does it provide to actually achieve its goals?
To ensure that educational institutions are being held accountable for ensuring that veterans' benefits are fully leveraged, the president signed out an executive order in 2012 called the Principles of Excellence. And what that executive order does is it directs agencies, VA, DOD, Department of Education, to implement and promote compliance with the principles of excellence for educational institutions that interact with veterans. What happens with that is service members and their families look at the principles of excellence as a set of guidelines in which institutions that receive this federal funding, including GI Bill, agree to comply. To date, we've got about 6,000 schools that have agreed to adhere to those principles of excellence. And broadly, just broadly, because there's a lot in it, it provides meaningful information about the financial cost and quality of the school. It prevents abusive and deceptive recruiting practices and provides high-quality academic and student support services. So the principles were designed to ensure that students, veteran students, are given the right tools to assist them in making informed decisions. Again, we want to make sure that veterans are informed consumers. One of the tools that you asked about was we're in the process of building and developing a GI Bill comparison tool that can be used for veterans and their dependents that provides them incredibly valuable information to help them make the right decision. This comparison tool can call up a school, tell you how many veterans are attending, can tell you whether the school has agreed to comply with the principles of excellence. It can tell you whether it's a yellow ribbon school. It will tell you information from the Department of Education's information in terms of graduation rates, not for veterans, but graduation rates across the board for all students at that school, loan default rates. And so it gives you a whole bunch of information such that you can make that informed decision. We're also developing a centralized interagency feedback system that veterans can write in through our website and tell us whether or not they believe a school is adhering to the principles of excellence. And if not, what is that school doing? And we will then address that with the school, and we will research, and we will find out whether or not the school is, in fact, doing things like deceptive marketing and so on and so forth. So the feedback mechanism is there to allow veterans and their beneficiaries to report schools' behaviors when it comes to some of the principles of excellence.
I want to talk about another program that you folks are administering. It's the Veterans Retraining Assistance Program. Would you tell us more about it, how it was implemented, and how has it served as a catalyst to improve collaboration and coordination?
We call it VRAP. Is a joint program between the Department of Veterans Affairs and the Department of Labor. It was passed about 2 years ago as part of the bigger law, Vow to Hire Heroes law, that the president signed in November of 2011. And what this program provides, and it kind of goes back to the previous comment I made, it provides 12 months of educational benefits to veterans between the ages of 35 and 60 who are unemployed and have no educational benefits. So, for example, when I said 80% of unemployed veterans are over the age of 35, this program hits that sweet spot because a lot of those veterans between 35 and 60 are not entitled to the post-9/11 GI Bill. But even if, for example, they were entitled to the post-9/11 GI Bill and or Montgomery GI Bill, but used up all of their benefits. The requirements are unemployed, 35 to 60, and don't have any GI Bill benefits available to them. And it provides 12 months of educational benefits for a certificate program or an associate's degree program. It doesn't 12 months may not get you a complete associate's degree, but it'll get you on your way or help you finish it. And so what you do is we've created over 200 high-demand occupations. So you have to sign up for one of the high-demand occupations. And the key to that is we want to make sure that veterans are using these educational benefits for real jobs and meaningful employment when they complete that 12 months of benefits. It's been overwhelmingly successful. In just the time frame of the last couple years, we've had over 143,000 veterans apply. We've approved 126,000 veterans for the benefit because sometimes people apply and they're not qualified for any number of reasons. We've seen where over 74,000 veterans have used the program to the tune of about $700 million.
What about your efforts to improve and expand the Transition Assistance Program, TAP? How has this program been modernized, and how does it complement VA's portfolio of programs?
Well, it's another incredible program that the VA has spent much time and effort doing. So, for example, since November of 2012, we've been providing briefings to 100% of all service members who are leaving the service. That's a lot of people. Since November of this past year, we've been briefing a revamped transition assistance program, now known as Transition GPS, or Goals, Plans, and Success. And so what we've done is in the prior transition assistance program, we in VA would go through about a 110-page PowerPoint presentation. I often refer to it as death by PowerPoint. And so now we've developed 6 hours of interactive instruction to sort of connect those service members with the benefits and resources that are available to them. So we've completely revamped and overhauled that piece. We're also working very, very hard on an adjunct two-day career technical training track as part of the program. And what this is a two-day workshop for service members and their spouses that assist them in navigating through the myriad of choices they have with respect to some of the technical training that they're entitled to, selecting civilian technical careers such as electrician and plumbers and welders and nurses and some of those VRAP occupations that we talked about. And it's most fascinating because the post 9/11 GI Bill is not just about higher education. It provides the opportunity for veterans to use their post 9/11 GI Bill in a technical environment as well. And so it's not just higher education. And so as we look at the transition assistance program, again, we go back to a common theme of wanting to make sure that veterans are informed consumers of what their benefits are. There's a wide swath of benefits that they've so richly earned and deserve.
So I'd like to explore the services VA offers to help ensure veterans' academic success. And in particular, could you tell us about the Vet Success on Campus program? How has it been expanded and enhanced to date? And what are the 8 keys to success on campus?
It's the mission of Vet Success on Campus is to provide supportive services necessary to ensure that veteran students are successful in their academic pursuits, that we help them adjust to campus environment and eventually transition to civilian employment. What we do is we put a trained and experienced vocational rehabilitation and employment counselor on the campus full-time. They're there every day as a full-time job. And what these counselors do is they provide outreach to our veterans and those service members that may be going there, as well as dependents. They provide professional counseling as it relates to disabilities, vocational goals, academic achievement, and much, much more, as you might imagine. They also administer and interpret education and vocational assessments. So in other words, they help veterans do that assessment as they go through their academic career. As you might imagine, putting a fully trained and experienced vocational rehabilitation and employment counselor on the campus, they're very familiar with all of the VA benefits and can help those veterans sort of navigate through all of those benefits. So these counselors are not just for wounded warriors or disabled veterans. They're for all of the veterans on that campus. And so you asked about its growth. Yeah. The program sort of started as a pilot in 2009 at the University of South Florida. Since then, we've sort of gone through multiple evolutions. We grew from one pilot site to 8 campuses, then to 32 campuses, and this year we're now at 94 campuses. So we've grown the program rather quickly. We're also reaching out for new and partners throughout the program. For example, this coming year, we're going to be placing AmeriCorps volunteers on several of our VSOC campuses to help us deal with some of the issues surrounding veterans and to give us more boots on the ground as we look at this. So that's sort of the Vet Success on Campus program. We're very, very proud of it, very excited about it. At 94 campuses, we're institutionalizing a lot of these things, but we've seen a great deal of success, no pun intended.
What is VA doing to enhance opportunities for veterans to obtain knowledge and skills to properly transition into civilian life? We will ask Curtis Coy, Deputy Undersecretary for Economic Opportunity within the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.